We're here on the top of Daf Nunches Omed Aleph. Our goal for today is to try to finish Perek Ha'ish Mekadesh, which is on Daf Nunches Omed Beis. We're up to Urim Minhu. You may remember that in the last shiur we discussed a confrontation, so to speak, a meeting between Mar Yehuda and Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel, in which Mar Yehuda asked the kasha, and that kasha was very challenging. And what we're going to see today is that although Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel were stumped by this question of Mar Yehuda, Rabba comes to save the day, and all this revolves around the shita of Rabbi Shimon regarding Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora. Our Mishnah has established that if a man is Mekadesh and Isha with Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora, the Kedushin are invalid because he was Mekadesh with Yisurei Anoah. But the Gemara develops here the Shita of Reb Shimon that as far as Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora are concerned, there is no Yisur Anoah, and therefore the Kedushin would be valid if he gave her Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora. Then the Gemara posits Mar Yehuda's kasha, which he asked to his colleagues, Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel, and that is that we learned in Tmura, in the Mishnah in Tmura, in the seventh perek, the Rav Shimon is of the opinion that Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora Yisarfu. Now, what does this mean that Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora Yisarfu? After all, that chulin, the halacha is that if you have kodshim that were nifsalu, that became posel, they need sreifa, which means that although Yisuri Adnod did not require in general sreifa, there are some exceptions to that rule, but as a general rule, Yisuri Adnod require or suffice, shall we say, with kvura. But in behemas kodshim shenifsala, if it was after Shechita, that requires Sreifa. Now, if someone sees Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora, the onlooker, he doesn't know it's Chulin. He mistakenly thinks it's Kodshim, and therefore we have to treat the Basar as Kodesh, and instead of allowing it, like other Yisurei Anoah, to be buried, we're going to require Sreifa. Why? Because we don't want people to walk away with the misimpression that kodshim shenifsalu suffice with kvura. We're going to therefore treat these chulin as kodshim, and we're going to require sreifa. And so far, so good. We still don't know whether we're talking about an iser hana doraisa, and that's why we require sreifa in the case of chulin shenishchatu ba'azora. Because again, we want to maintain the position in Reb Shimon that Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azora is Mutar Ba'anoah. Here we seem to assume it's Asur Ba'anoah. But again, you could say this is all Midin Gzeira Atu Kodshim Psulim. But then Reb Shimon in the Mishnah in Tmura goes one step further. And here we're going one step too far. He says, V'chein Chaya Shenishchata Ba'azora. In the case of Chaya, for example, at Tzvi Vayal, there we're also going to require Sreifa. If this Tzvi was Shechted in the Azara, Chulin Shechted Ba'azara. And once again, we're going to come to establish that the Roeh, the spectator, would make a mistake. And once again, he's going to think that we have here Kodshim Psulim, and why are we burying them? We should be burning them. And if we're burying them, apparently Kodshim Psulim only have to be buried. Now, the problem is with Chaya, because Chaya Shenishchatu Ba'azora, there's no toast to the Roim. There's no way that the Roim might come to mistakenly believe that we are dealing with a case of Kodshim Shenifsalu, because there's no Hakrova of a Chaya in the Azara. So if we're going to say that according to Rav Shimon, In the case of Chulin Shenishkatu Ba'azara, the Isra Hanoah is only Drabanan, why would the Chacham be Machmir to require Sreifa in the case of Chaya Shenishkatu Ba'azara? That's already going way too far. In the case of Behemoth Chulin, you can say that the onlooker thinks mistakenly that these were Kodshim that were Shechted in the Azara, and they became Posel, and therefore going to have to upgrade from Kvura all the way to Sreifa, because they may mistakenly think that Kodshim Shenifsalu is Bekfura. But in the case of Chaya, where this Gezer is not Shayach, and they're not going to make a mistake and confuse this with Kodshim Shenishchatu Ba'azara that became Psulim, then if we're assuming that the entire Halacha of Kodshim Nishkatu Ba'azara is Aser Ba'anah Midrabanan, which means that Midaraisa, there is no Iser Hanah, and the Rabbanan wanted to Aser it Ba'anah, even if you grant you that, I grant you that premise. Nevertheless, it's not possible that they would be Machmir so far with this Iser Rabbanan, when there's no Iser Torah at all, to require Sreifa. That's what Rashi says here in Dibra Maschil Yisrafu. So you might say so at least in the case of Behema, but to go as far as to extend this to Chaya, L'chora, that's really going way, way, way too far. The only possible way that we could say that the Chachamim would require, in the case of Chaya Shenishkatu Ba'azara Sreifa, is only if Rabbi Shimon were moda that Chulin Shenishkatu Ba'azara is Aser min HaTorah, in which case we're stuck with the Braisa that we brought before, that if he's Mekadesh and Isha, which Chulin Shenishkatu Ba'azara, she's Mekudeshes. And the Gemara now tells us Ishtiku, that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shmuel, when they heard this Kasha from Mar Yehuda, they had no answer. Also, they came in Lekami de Rabba, and they presented the question of Mar Yehuda to Rabba. Amar Lahu, Rabba responded, Palga Okminchu. Okminchu means when they force you to be quiet, they silence you. Palga is a description of a person who tends to always find the opposite, the opposite reasoning. He always wants to be revolutionary and disagree with his friends. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case in which Rabbi Shimon validates Kiddushin Bechulin Shenishku Ba'azara, that's a special case, as we'll soon see. The general rule is, says Rabbi, according to Rabbi Shimon, that Chulin Shenishku Ba'azara is also Ba'anah. And that's the rule. And that's why we have rules about Sreifa here, Midrabanan, and we're not going to suffice with Kvura. But the case, there's only one scenario, a very slim case in which Chulin Shenishkatu Ba'azara is Mekudeshes, according to Rabbi Shimon Kigon, Shenishkata V'nimtzeis Treifa. After the Shechita, this famous Chulin, they discovered that the animal is a Treifa, and Rabbi Shimon L'tamei, Rabbi Shimon holds that a Shechita Psula, meaning a Shechita that is not able to be mater, it's not ru'uya, to be mater the basar, is not called a shechita. And in this case, since he found it to be a treifa, it doesn't engender the din of chulin shenishkatu ba'azara with all these surim. The sanya, where do we find that it's Rabbi Shimon who waves the flag that if it's a shechita shena ru'uya, it's not called shechita? The Braisa tells us that hashochet es ha'treifa, we're talking about a case where a person shechts an animal and he knows it's a treifa. He saw already the simoni treifa was on the feet of the animal. It was obvious to him. Or in the flip case where he shechts the animal, unbeknown to him, in the innards of the animal is treifa, the bnei me'ayin, nimtzeis treifa. In all these cases, ze v'ze, chulin ba'azara, according to Tanakama, the halacha of chulin shenishkatu ba'azara in such a shechita kicks in. Rav Shimon Matir Be'anah. Rav Shimon says that no, this is not called Chulin Shenish Ktuba Zorah, because the Shechita is a Shechita Sheina Ruya. V'chachomim Osrim. But the Chachomim who raise the level of Shechita Sheina Ruya in the case of a Treifa to a Shechita, therefore it's Chulin Shenish Ktuba Zorah engenders in Yisrael Noah. But one thing's crystal clear, that Rav Shimon in general will hold that Chulin Shenish Ktuba Zorah is Osir Manoah. The exception to the rule is this case of Behemas Chulin Shenimtzeis Trefa. She is Muteris Bano because the Shechita Shein Aruya, the Lav Shmei Shechita. The Behema is not, you don't engender the status of this Behema of Chulin Shenishketu Bazar. Where's the Shechita? There was no Shechita to engender an Iser. And therefore, when Reb Shimon says that a Makadish with Chulin Shenishku Bazoras Arehi Mukudesh's Kedushin is valid, that's not a general, regular, simple case of Chulin Shenishku Bazoras. It's a case of Chulin Shenishku, and they found out it was Trefa. And according to Reb Shimon, since Shechita Shein Aruya Lav Shei Shechita, therefore it's Mutar Banon, therefore the Kedushin is valid. But in a Chinami, if it wasn't Nimtzei's Trefa, and you just took Chulin and you shechted it, then that would engender an Isra HaNoah, and the Chulin Shenishku Bazorah would be possible for Kiddushin. Now, it could very well be that Rav Shimon would agree in a case of Chaya Shenishku, not only it could be, but it is so, we saw it explicitly from the Mishnah in Temura, that a Chaya Shenishku Bazorah requires Sreifa. Because again, since we're dealing with an Issa Torah, the Rabbanan have rights to be more machmir in an Issa Torah, and Hishru Chachomis Takanoseim, the same takana they make for Chayesh in Ishkutu Bazor, where there is a real chash that if you don't burn it and you bury it, people assume that it has the same din as Kodshim Psulim, and they would mistakenly conclude the Kodsh Psulim require nothing more than kfura, but the Rabbanan are now going to extend it to Chaya as well, even where the Gzera really isn't Shayach. And now we start the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Machran v'kidesh bidmehen mikudeshes. So if these Yisrei HaNoah was sold, and the seller violating the Yisrei HaNoah but nevertheless receives damim, we don't punish him, and there's no din of chilupe dmeyem, that the dmeyem, the money that he received in payment for the Yisrei HaNoah, would become osur banah. And the Mishnah says, minolan. I mean to say, the Gemara now comments on the Mishnah Minolan. How did the Mishnah know that there's no Tfisas Domim in Yisrei HaNoah? Midagoli Rachmona Bavodas Kochavim, since in Avodas Kochavim the Torah established this new rule of Tfisas Domim, based on the Pasuk V'Hayisa Cherem Kamohu, Kol Shata Mahaya Hemenu is Harei Hu Kamohu. So if you take Avodah Zorah, which is also by Noah, and you sell it or you swap it, then what you receive is Kamohu, has the same Din Cherem as the Avodah Zorah itself. And it becomes Osir Banoah. But since the Torah had to reveal that in the case of Avodah Zorah, implying Michlal, as a general rule, universally, Kol Isurim Shabbat Torah Sharu. All Isurim in the Torah would be Mutar. In other words, there's the Isra HaNoah of Avodah Zorah is a unique exception to the rule. The Shari Isra HaNoah, which is the general universal rule, and Ein Tfisas Domim B'Isra HaNoah, with the exception of Avodah Zorah, where the Torah says Vayisa Cherem Kamo. The Gemara says, why do you see Avodah Zorah as the exception to the rule? V'Nelith Mina. Why not set up Avodah Zorah as your paradigm, as your binyan av, and equate all Yisrei HaNoah to Avodah Zorah? Just like Avodah Zorah is this Tfisas Domim, the Domim themselves, when you sell it, are Osir Banoah, so too in all Isur Anoah, what you sell and you violate Isur Anoah, the money that you receive for that sale of Isur Anoah becomes Osir Banoah, and it's Tofes Dom. And the Gemara answers, Mishum Davi Avodas Kochom Mushvi Yishnei Ksum Abom Ke'echod, V'chol Shnei Ksum Abom Ke'echod Eim Melamdim. Not only is Avodah Zarah the exception to the rule, but also Shvius is the exception to the rule. And paradoxically, that limits the rule. Meaning, although you would have said that Avodah Zarah you wanted to push for is the exception to the rule, now you have Shvius is also another exception. And Shvius is also Tofes Dom if you sell the pair of Shvius. And therefore you would have thought that, well, if the Torah is telling me the same idea in Isur Anoah twice, that there is Tefisas Dom and once in Avodah Zarah, once in Shvius, I would have thought intuitively, surely the Torah is pointing to a rule rather than an exception to the rule. In all Isur Anoah there should be Tofes Dom. But the answer to that is that we have a principle called Shnei Ksum Abom Ke'echod Ein Melamdim. When the Torah establishes a principle in two cases, then it's coming to tell you that it only applies to those two cases and not in other cases. Of course, the Ramban here and Tosfos as well are bothered by the fact that there are chiluke dinim here between Peir Shvius Shemachlifim and Avodah Zarah Shemachlifim. And in the case of Shvius, when you say chilufeim, it's got the same status as Shvius. That's not exactly so. There's a halacha called achron nitfas beiser v'emtzoyim yotzim lechulin, and that's not the case in Avodah Zarah. But be that as it may, leaving the kasha on the side, we have the principle of Shnei Ksum Abom Kechrei Melamdim, and the Gemara answers Avodas Kalchovim Hodi Amoron Shvius Maihi. Okay, you're telling me that as a general rule there is no Tfisas Domim, because in addition to Avodah Zarah, Vayisa, Cherem, Kamo, there's another exception to the case of Shvius. How do we know such a thing? Shvius Maihi? Where do we derive that conclusion that this Tfisas Domim in Shvius? And the Gemara answers, the Pasuk says at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Yovel hi Kodesh Tia Lachem. Peros Shvius are called Kodesh, and we want to equate now the Kedusha of Peros Shvius to the Kedusha of Kodesh. In other words, if you makdish something for the Mizbeach, Ma Kodesh Tofes is Doma, if you sell Kodesh, then the monies become Osur through Tfisas Domim, Af Shvius, because of this equation, Yovali Kodesh Yelchem, between Shvius and Kodesh, there is Tfisas Domim in Shvius, and therefore if you sell Peir Shvius, the money that you receive in payment for the Peir Shvius have the din of Kedusha, just like the Peir Shvius themselves. E, Ma Kodesh Tofes as Domov, if you're going to take this equation between Shvius and Hegdish to its logical conclusion, and therefore you derive, number one, the conclusion that if you sell Shvius, this Tfisas Domim, is let's take it the whole way, the whole nine yards. Because in Kodesh, the din is that if you sell Kodesh, it's Yotze L'Chulin. In other words, the Kodesh itself becomes Chulin, and that Kedusha is now transferred over to the most that were paid from the buyer to the seller in exchange for the peiros of Kodesh, is Af Shvius Tofesis Domav Yotzis L'Chulin. We should say that in Shvius, if you sell peiros Shvius, the money that you receive, that the seller receives, has the din of Shvius, with all the Kedusha therein, but we should be able to mafkia the Kedusha Shvius from the peiros that was sold. The Domim take over, they replace the object, the fruits themselves. And just like we saw that by Kodesh, by equation, we should say the same thing by Shvius. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Tiyeh. You remember we quoted the Pasuk, Yovel Hi Kodesh Tiyeh Lachem. And what is Tiyeh? Bavayasa Tiyeh. It should remain as is. Now the Kedusha's Peris is, you're not Mafkir, the Kedusha's Peris from Peris Shvius, even after they were sold. They remain Bahavi Yosam, and therefore they have the same Kedusha as the original state of Kedusha regarding Shvius. Oh. Ketzad, now the Gemara wants to know, what is this din of Tfisas Damim, which in Shvius means that the monies received by the seller have the din of Shvius, and not only that, the payers themselves remain Shvius. Is Lokach the payers Shvius Basar? Let's say he took payers Shvius and with it, he used it as a barter, as an exchange for Basar. So he's Machlif Basar the payers Shvius. The payers now become Tashlumin, payment for the Basar. Is Elu V'Elu Mizbarim B'Shvius? Both the payers and now the Basar have to be gotten rid of at the time of Bir Shvius. You have to take it out of your house, because there's Tfisas Kedusha not just on the payros that we know, but even on the Basar that was paid as Chalipin for the payros. And therefore the mitzvah of Bir applies not just to the payros, but also to the Basar as well, when the time for Bir comes around. So let's just say a few words about Bir Shvius. You have payros that grew in the field during Shvius. You're allowed to eat them b'kedusha as long as the payros are in the sada. V'lochalu l'chaya. Mishakol l'chaya min asada. When the animals are no longer available in the fields to eat these payros, is then the din is that you have a chovas biur. And that chovas biur is formulated by the Gemara in Psachim, Levaram min Habayis. Now, after Kol Achaya min Asodeh and the Zman Bir comes, you have to be mafkir all of the Peros Shvius in your house. Take them out and be mafkir it. There's one opinion, you have to burn it. In the case where you made a sale, a swap, with Peros Shvius, and you received Basar, since the Kedusha is Nitfas in the Basar, therefore when the Zman Bir comes around, then you have to be Mavir even the Basar. So you'll have to be Mavir both the Peros Shvius and the Basar that you received as Chalipin for the Shvius. And that's an expression of the din, this fundamental principle that Peros Shvius is Nitfas Bidomim, but yet it does not have the same din as Kodesh, whereas in Kodesh, the Kodesh is Yotzel Lechulin, here the Peros Shvius retain their status of Peros Shvius with the Kedusha therein. Babasar, Bibasar, Dagim, Yatsa Basar v'nichnasu Dagim. So in other words, if he sold the Shvius for Basar, so he received Basar as payment for the Shvius, and then took the Basar, which was Chalipe Shvius, and he purchased Dagim, then at that point we say Yatsa HaBasar v'nichnasu HaDagim. Now, the Basar, which was Tafus Damim, loses its Kedusha Shvius, and the Dagim now replace the Basar. Then he took Badagim Yayin, he swapped Dagim with Yayin, Yotzu Dagim v'nichnas Yayin, Yayin v'shemen, Yotzu Shemen v'nichnas HaShemen Tachta. That means that there's this entire chain in domino theory where the last thing becomes Kodesh, and all the things before we Yotzel Lechulin. HaKeitzah, what does this mean? Achron, Nitfas B'Shvius. Perei Atzmo Osur. The Perei Shvius themselves always remain Osur Bahanoah. We're talking about after Zman Bir. And it never goes out of its Kedusha, of its state of Kedusha. That was derived from Tia, Ba'aviyasa Tia. But as far as the Chalipin is concerned, it's only the last thing on the entire chain that achieves or assumes the Kedusha of Shvius. Again, without undermining the Kedusha's Peir Shvius. And that will require Biur, and there'll be an Iser Hanoah after this Man Biur. The Gemara asks, Ha Nicha
Leman Diomar Ein Malamdin. All this fits well that Isurei Anon in general are Ein Tfisas Damim, and Avodah Zarah and Shvius are the two exceptions to the rule. That's because Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kechet Ein Malamdin. Leman Diomar Malamdin. And we discussed this at great length back in the first parak, that there is a mandiyom who holds Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kechet Melamdim, that we see the two as paradigmic, as binyanav, rather than as exceptions. So Michael and Meimar. So why don't we derive from Avodah Zarah and Shvius the principle of Tfisas Damim universally applied to all Isurei Anah? And the Gemara answers, no. There is no machlokes of Shnei Ksuvim Abom Ke'echad or Ein Malamdim or Ein Malamdim, except in the cases of other cases, not in this case. In this case, everybody's going to agree that Shnei Ksuvim Ein Malamdim. That's Avodah Zarah and Shvius Mi'ute Ksive. The Torah uses a Lashon Mi'ut and tells you that only here there is Tfisas Damim, and we should not learn to other places. And therefore, even if, as a universal rule, Shnei Ksuvim Abom Kechet Melamdim, but he's moded than in this case of Avodah Zarah and Shvius, it's Ein Melamdim. Why? Ksiv Hochen Avodah Zarah says, Ki Cherem Hu, the extra word Hu is a mute. Uksiv Hosam Yovel He, and the Parsha Shvius says Yovel He, and the extra word He is to tell you that Avodah Zarah and Shvius in, there is halacha tfisas damim, isa tfisas damim, but midi achrini in other cases low. And therefore, the bottom line is we understand very well our Mishnah that if a person sells Isurei Anah and then he receives the damim and he uses that payment money as kesef kedushin, harei zu mekudeshes. The Mishnah now enumerates those things that you cannot be mekadesh an isha with. That was the previous Mishnah. And now the Mishnah wants to tell you those things that you can be Mekadesh and Isha with. And the Kedushin are valid. A Mekadesh B'Trumos, Truma Gedola, Trumas Maaser. These are all gifts that are given to the Kohen. Ube Ma'asos, those are gifts that are given to the Levi. And you can add to this Maser Oni, because Maser Oni has the same status as Maser that's given to the Levi, it's just that it's given to the Aniyim. Uvematanos, and those gifts that are given to the Kohen above and beyond Shruma, like Zroa, Lechayayim, Vikeva. This also can serve as Kesef Kiddushin. And B'mei Uvimei Chatos, Ubiefer Chatos, in all the above cases, Harei Zumekudeshes, even if the Mekadesh is Yisrael that doesn't have really Schus Mamon here, all he has is the ability to decide who he wants to give it to. In the case of Truma or Zerol Chayam Lekeva, he chooses which Kohen he wants to give it to. In the case of Masos, he chooses which Levi or which Ani he wants to give it to. That's called Tovas Hano. And that itself is worth something. So if a man who's a Yisrael and is not a Kohen, is Mekadesh and Isha, and she's a Yisrael, she's not a Kohen, but he gives a Truma, and now even though she cannot eat this Truma, but nevertheless she has a Zchus, which is called a Zchus of Tovas Hanah, to decide to which Kohen, to which Levi, to which Yisrael Ani she wants to give this gift to, that itself is worth something on the market, that itself is considered Mamon. And therefore, since Tovas Hanah is considered Mamon, she received Mamon, and the Kedushin is Chal. Mechatos, we mentioned, this is Mayim that was placed onto the Efer Paraduma, and afterwards Yusuf Azah on the Tummy Mess to be Metire him. The Efer Chatos itself is the Efer Paraduma. In these cases as well, the Kedushin is Chal. Let's just review what we call the Seder of Paraduma, the Asiyah of Paraduma, the Torah in Bamidbar Yutes says, V'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli, which means that they put the Efer Paraduma onto the water. And the Gemara in Sota on Daf Tazayin goes into detail about how this is done. This is called Mei Chatos, and it comes to be Mechapar on Chet. That's why it's called chatos, because the pasuk itself testifies for who is chatabo. And this halacha of Efer Chatos that we saw here in the Mishnah, which means the Paraduma, is the Gemara is going to explain later on that we're talking about a case where it's Makadisha Bishar Havasa Efer Umilu Mayim, and the Chiddush here in our Mishnah is going to be that you're allowed to take Schar for the hava of Efer and Milui Mayim. It's not called taking schar for mitzvahs, and therefore it has a value to it. The Gemara now asks, Omar Ula Tova Sana Einamon, what do we do according to Ula? Ula holds that the schus that Yisrael has when Trumas and Maestras and Matnas Kun, etc., is not considered mammon. Eisvei Rabbi Abalu Ula, what do we do with that Mishnah going to Ula? Hamakadish b'chumos u'masus u'matonos mechatos eifuparis u'mekudeshes va'filu Yisrael. Even if the makadish is Yisrael who doesn't own anything in this mammon, all he has is a tovas hanah. But according to Ula, tovas hanah ena mammon. So how can even makadish an isha with chumos, etc.? Amalei Ula answered Rabbi Abba that the reason why the Mishnah maintains that the Kiddushin are valid, it's not because, as you thought, Tovas Hano Mamon, Hacha, in the case of our Mishnah, be Israel, Shenaflu Lo Tvolim, Mi Beis Avi Imo Kohen. So in other words, the father of his mother, his maternal grandfather is a Kohen, and he inherited Peros Tvolim, which from which Trumas Maisa have not yet been removed, been lifted, is because Savar, and the Tana of Mishnah holds, Matono Shelo Hurmu, Kimisha Hurmu Damyon. In other words, the Kohen is Zoche, even before Hafrasha. Once this Nigmara, this Gmar Malacha, and it's Tevel, and it's Omed La Hafrasha, it's already considered Zechias HaKohen, Momen Kohen. Now, since this individual's maternal grandfather is a Kohen, he, the grandfather, was Zocha in these Trumos before the Afrasha, and even though his grandson is not a Kohen, but nevertheless, he inherits the Schus in that Truma such that he can sell it to other Kohenim. So even though as a universal rule, Ula maintains Tovas Hanah Lav Mamon, but in a case where you inherit something that's Mamon Kohen, and now as the Yisrael, a grandson, you inherited from your Kohen grandfather, you have full-fledged schuyos as far as Mamon is concerned. Obviously, you can't eat the Truma, you're not a Kohen. Your mother is a Bas Kohen, but you're not a Kohen. But you can be Mekadish and Isha, you can sell this because it, in terms of mamonis, you have a full-fledged zchus mamon. Boi minei Rabbi Chia bar Ovin mi Rav Huna. Rav Chia asked Rav Huna this very question that we're dealing with here. What's the status of Matnas Kahuna in the Yisrael has to give them out, mamon or eno mamon? Do we consider as if the Yisrael has zchus mamon in the matonos or not? Omolei Rav Huna responds to Rav Chia, Tinisua. Let's derive it from our Mishnah. Makadish b'trumos, samasrus, samatonos, mechatos, eifor, b'harizim, gudeshes, and afilu Yisrael. So it means that if the woman is miskadeshes with this gift, even though the gift is given from Yisrael, that's considered tovas hanah, and she can decide when she receives these trumos which kohen she wants to give it to. That's called mamon, and that's the answer to your question, Rabbi Chia. Amalei Rabbi Chia responds, "V'lavu kimna? Didn't we have the ukimta of Ula?" That the Mishnah is talking about a case of Yisrael, be Yisrael Shenafalo Tvolami base Avi Imo Kohen, and the Kiddushin here is based on the fact that Matonas Shalohurmu Kimisha Hurmu Damu, and therefore the Kohen was already Zoch in this Truma in the state of Tevel, and he bequeaths it to his grandson, and now his grandson has full-fledged ownership. But in a normal case of Truma, a regular classical case of Yisrael who's Mafresh Truma, who says, how can you prove from our Mishnah that he has Tovas Ano Mamon? Amalei, Rav Huna responds to Rabbi Chia, and now we turn to Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis, Hotsa At, or Hutsa Ata, I mean different ways of reading this, Ichsif. What does it mean, Ichsif? This Ichsif is Miloshon Busha. And Rav Huna Hutsa, when Rav Huna turns in response to Rabbi Chia and he says Hutsa Ata, which we'll see in the Gemara, is going to explain what those words mean, Ichsaf, Rabbi Chia was embarrassed by those words. Why? Who, meaning Rabbi Chia, Savar, he was of the opinion that when Rav Huna said to him, Hutza'a at, or Hutza'ata, Mishmata ka'amarle, what he really went to say is that the sugya, meaning the halacha that Rav Chia formulated and his interpretation of our Mishnah and Kiddushin, is hutza. Hutza means, it's not something that a chacham would say. That's how I understand the Rashi, meaning if it was an olam pashut and he was not a chacham, then maybe he would say such a thing. But hutza, Hutza means to take it out of, or Rashi interprets in terms of kanim, meaning this is not something that a chacham should be saying, and that was embarrassing to Rav Chia the way he understood it. When Rav Huna realized that Rav Chia misunderstood him, and he became embarrassed, Omalei Rav Huna wanted to straighten out the record. I didn't mean the way you said it. Hachi kaimina. This is what I meant to say. Rav Asi de Hutzal koi kavasach. There's a city called Hutzal, and one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, of almost back to the first generation of Aram, Rav Asi, came from that city of Hutzal, and he agrees with you. He also understood, like Ula understood before, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Tevel Shenafalo Mibes Avi Imo, and therefore there's no proof that Tovas Anah is Mom. Neima Kitanoi, perhaps we'll say that the issue of Tovas Hanoah, whether it's Momen or not Momen, is really a Machlokes Tanoim, because the Braisa says, Agonev Tivlo Shal Chaver, a person steals Tevel from his friend, Mishalim Lo, the Ganav has to pay Dmei Tivlo Shal Chaver Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe's of the opinion that he's got to pay the entire value of the Tevel that he stole from his friend, even the Dmei Trumos of Maisus in this Peros, meaning that Rebbe here is expressing the view of Tovas Hanoah Mamon, and the Ganav has to pay the value of the Trumos of Maisus because he stole from the Bailim Mamon, because Tovas Hanoah is Mamon. Rabbi Yossi Barab Yehuda Omer, he disagrees with Rebbe, and he says, Eina Mashalim El Dmei Chulin Shabo, right? Because Tevel is a mixture of both Chulin and Truma. The Truma dimension, there's no Chiv Gneva because Tovas Hanoah Lav Mamon. So what does the Nigzal or the Nignav, what does he own in these fruits of Tevel? He only owns the Dmei Chulin value. So there are two values here. There's X plus Y. The X is the Dmei Chulin Shabo. That's probably most of the value of the fruits. But Y is the Dmei Truma Shabo. And the Dmei Truma Shabo, that variable represents Tovas Hanoah. Because again, the Nignav is Israel. He's not eating the Truma Shabo. Why does Rebbe say that the Ganav Dif has to pay up the Israel, the Nignav, for Kol Tivlo, meaning even for the Dmei Truma Shabo? The answer is because of Tovas Hanoah. So I guess you would say the following, that if you add X, which is the value of the chulin here, plus Y is the value of Tovas Hanoah,
That's the sum total which the Ganav, according to Rebbe, has to pay to the Nignav. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, is of the opinion he only has to pay the X, not the X plus Y. And that's what the Gemara develops now. My lava haka miflagi. Demar sovar, according to Rebbe, tovas anah mamon. And that's why the Ganav has to pay not just the value of the chulin, that element, but also the truma itself. Because that is a shava pruta, that is a value of mamon that is owned by the Nignav, which the Ganav stole, he has to pay for that. Umar, but Rabbi Yossi says, Sovar Tovas Anoa Edo Mamon, the Balaperos, did not forfeit the value of the Truma, because that Truma value, that element of Truma there, is not owned by the Nignav. He doesn't have ownership Tovas Anoa Edo Mamon. The Ganav has to pay him only the Dmei Chulin Shebo, meaning this Tevel, as we said before, is a mixture of both Chulin and Truma. The Gemara now wants to reject this and suggest that you really can't push the envelope here and prove that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda denies the principle of Tovas Hanah Mamon. Lo, says the Gemara. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Tovas Hanah Eino Mamon. Ah, Punkfaket. The Gemara wants to reject the proof from Rebbe over here, meaning even Rebbe would agree that Tovas Hanah Eino Mamon. But what's the case? It's bitfolim shenaflulo mi beis avi abba kohen. So the Israel, the grandson of a kohen, inherits from his grandfather Tevel. And the question is whether or not the kohen had ownership over the Tevel. Umatana shlo hufreshu shlo hurmu kamisha hurmu dan yukam miflugi, meaning according to Rebbe is kamisha hurmu damian, which means it's as if there already was hafrasha. It means the kohen was already zocha in the trumas and maisras, and therefore he bequeaths it to his neched, his grandson, who's Yisrael, now inherits the schusim of the Truma Umaiser. And again, even though in general, as a universal rule, two of us are not in a moment, but as we said before, if it's an inheritance from his grandfather, then certainly he has moment. He owns that moment, because the Dini Momentus and the Bailus moment, which the grandfather had, he now transfers through Yerusha to his grandson. That's according to Rebbe. But Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that before the Afrasha took place, Lav Kamisha Humrudami, there's no Afrasha here, there's no Truma, the coin wasn't Zocha, the Neched only inherits Tevel, and that's it, pure Tevel netto, that's all he gets. And what does he have in this Tevel? He has, first of all, the Chulin element, but as far as the Truma element is concerned, that's already Tovas Hanah. He doesn't have a full-fledged Zachia and Yerusha's Bailus over the Truma, because his grandfather Cohen didn't own the Truma. So all he has in is Tovas Hanah, and we all Tovas Hanah moment. Now the Gemara goes the other way, the way that I wanted to suggest originally. Ibois Ema, it's possible to suggest the Kuli Alma, meaning even Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Matanos Shelo Hurmu Kimi Shehurmu Damo. And what does that mean? Kimi Shehurmu Damo. It means that the grandson inherits Mamon, meaning Truma, because the Truma was owned by the grandfather. The machlokas here is a different machlokas. The Omer Shmuel chita achas poteres esakri. That as far as the Doraisa is concerned, the Hafrasha's Truma doesn't require anything more than a chita, even a mashu, that's enough to be mekayim in the midst of Truma, and all the rest of the Tevel is Yotze L'chulin. Is Mar, Demar, meaning Rebbe Islay de Shmuel, he holds like Shmuel. And therefore, the Nignav, the owner of the Peros, has the ability to claim against the Ganov that he would have parted his entire Kri with one Chita. And therefore the Hefseid that the Ganov caused him, the loss the Ganav brought about to him, is really the entire Dmei Tevel, minus the one Chita. Umar, but Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Lesle de Shmuel, he holds it is a sheer truma midoraisa, and chidachas is not enough to pater the entire kree. Of course, the question becomes now, what exactly is that sheer truma? Rabbi Yochanan Yushalmi says it's echad mi mea. Rabbi Yanai says it's echad mi elef. Whatever it is a certain sheer. And therefore, the ganav here, in terms of the hefsek that he caused to the nignav, is only caused him to lose the demei chulin, that sheer truma that he has to give, that already is tovus hano, which is eino mamon. Ibai Sem, the Gemara has a third approach to the machlokes, Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Ibai Sem, the Kuli Alma, Leslehu de Shmuel. Both Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi agree that there is a shear of truma, and therefore the ganav doesn't have to pay the truma element here, because Tovus Hanoi in a moment. Hacha hainu time of the Rebbe. So why does Rebbe say that the ganav should have to pay the demei truma? The kansu rabbanan leganav. It's a special new din that rabbanan instituted a knas that the ganav has to pay the demei truma. So that these demei truma should not be considered what we call mamon shein lo tovim, that the Baal HaPeiros has no right to demand payment for that. The Kohanim as well don't have a right to collect the Truma from the Ganav, because no Kohen can force anyone to give him the Truma. And then the Ganav is going to be Marviach. So in order to cut down this Revach, the Chachom instituted this Knas and said the Ganav has to pay Demei Truma. He shouldn't be motivated to want to steal this Truma and take it for himself. It's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, and he makes a bundle. No, he's going to have to, basically going to enforce that he pays the Demei Truma. V'Bais Ema, this is already the fourth interpretation of this Machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. The Kuli Alm, everybody agrees, Islu de Shmuel, that Chitachas Poteres Es HaKri. And therefore, the ganav should be paying the entire bag or basket of fruit. But here, Hainu time the Rabbi Yossi review. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that the ganav doesn't have to pay them a truma? The kansura bonil balabayis. Fascinating. There was a knas instituted against the balabayis, the owner of the peros, lo yboile l'shehuye l'tivle. The very fact that this was stolen indicates that he was being masha his peros as tevel. He should be mafrish peros immediately. And as a knas, the rabbanon said that if this truma is lost by virtue of a gneva, so even though there should be a rightful claim from the Nignav, the Baal HaPeiros, to the Ganav, to pay me for the Truma, nevertheless, the Rabbanan instituted a Knas. Now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah Tanah, Namakadish B'Trumos Uvamasus Umatonos Uvamechatos Ubiefer Pora Rezum Kudesh Esvi Af Alpi. Even though the Mekadesh is Yisrael, Reminhu, the Gemara says, I have another Mishnah that seems to indicate the exact opposite. The case is in Masechta Bechoros of Yayin, Hanotel Sochar Lodun Dinov Betelim. So I said it was Yayin, my mistake. We're talking about a dayon. You know, there's a little bit of confusion here when you have the dalad yud yud nun. In any event, we're talking about a judge, and that's why it says lo dun. A judge is not allowed to be paid per case. You know, pay me off and I'll do this and I'll judge this case. No. And if he went ahead and he took schar for the case, then his horas din is batel. I'm not sure if that's a doraisa halacha, or it's a takonis chachomim. In any event, lahoid, if a witness is paid off in order to give his testimony, a duso betela, his edus is completely null and void. And it could be possible that the Gemara means to say that, based on this mission in Bechoros, that all of his edios from henceforth are going to be psulos, because he was paid to give his testimony. Now, lahazos, what if you pay someone, interesting case here, for hazos mei efer, there's a tomei, you pay someone to do the hazov of the mei para, ulekadesh, or to take the efer para and put it onto the maim chayim and be mekadesh it, is in this case, meimov, what's the status of the mayim, for which he took a salary check, mei ma'ara, it's invalid, it's called mayim sruchim, mei ma'ara, and efro, the efer for which he got paid, is efer mikla. It's like regular ashes, you know, that it doesn't have the halacha, the status of efer para. So in our Mishnah, we have a problem. Why? Because the Mishnah in Masechta Bechoros establishes that the Efer, that you're not allowed to take schar for Meipara. For Efer Para, our Mishnah seems to insist that he can Mekadish an Isha with Meipara, and Efer Para, seemingly that Meichatos and Efer Chatos has a value of Mamon, which means Efshal Lital Avuram Schar. It means that our Mishnah assumes she could sell it on the open market. But that doesn't make any sense, because if you're not allowed to take any Schar for this, you know, for this Meipara, when it do so, it loses its status as Efer Para. It's like Efer Makla. So what is she gaining over here? Or Abaye lo kasha. Kan b'schar ava, umilui, kan b'schar haza v'kiddush. The Mishnah Bechoros is addressing the case where he's Mekadish and Isha v'meichatos Efer Chatos, not that he's being Mekadish with the value, but rather he's schar ava. He's saying that in lieu of payment for my alicha from a far off place all the way to Yerushalayim to bring the Efer, Abai's chiddush is that the schar of the work here, of the tircha of hava milui, that's worth something. And if he does this work and he waives his rights to get paid for it, and he's mekadisha b'masha eino no tol mimena schar, that itself is kesef kiddushin. And here we make the distinction between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Hechsher Mitzvah. In other words, Hava and Milui is not the Etzem Maisa Mitzvah. He's not Mechuyev Al Pidin by virtue of the Mitzvah to be Torech himself. And therefore, whatever is not included in the strict definition of the Maisa Mitzvah, he can be paid for. So for example, if you're baking matzahs for me, then you have a right to demand payment for the Tircha Schar to pay you for all the work you did, even though I'm going to eat the matzah and it's a mitzvah, but the answer is baking the matzahs is only a hechsher mitzvah, it's a preparatory stage. But in the Mishnah Bechoros, we're talking about schar hazov v'kiddush. There we're talking about the maisa mitzvah itself, namely the hazah and the tameh. To be paid for the hazah, that disqualifies. Or for example, the nesinas mayim b'yefer, that is also a mitzvah itself. And therefore, if he's taking schar for the etzem maisa mitzvah, that's a big problem. Vatora omra, he says, re'ei limadati eschem chukim mishpatim kashat zivani Hashem Elokai. The Gemara in Bechoros darshins from that pasuk, k'shem shemoshe Rabbeinu limed Yisrael Torah mitzvah v'chinam, gam Yisrael osalem litol schar avur asiyas ha-mitzvahs, v'yimnot al schar avur ha-mitzvah bitla ha-mitzvah, b'teila ha-mitzvah. Now keep in mind the drosha based on that pasuk, limadeti eschem, kasha tzivani, etc., that's only as far as the din l'chatchila, meaning that you're not allowed to be paid lechatchila for a mitzvah. But whether the mitzvah becomes betela afterwards, that's already, Tosus points out, it's already an asmach to the alma. Now, the interpretation I gave you of this sugya to distinguish between hava and mili on the one hand and hazah and kiddush on the other hand, that the first case is a hechsher mitzvah, the second case is a maisa mitzvah unto itself, that you'll find, if you read it carefully, in Tosus Riyaz Zaken, Rashi seems to make a different distinction, which is a little bit more difficult in my mind, between is there tircha or is there not tircha. In any event, the Gemara says now, deka, deka nami. It's very meduyak, it's very meticulous in the language of the Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about a case where he's mekadesh b'schar hava, or milui, whereas the Mishnah Bechoros is talking about a case where he's taking schar for the Maisa Azor, the Maisa Mitzvah, the Maisa Kiddush, the Ketoni Hocha. If you compare the two Mishnayos, here in our Mishnah it says Mekadosh B'Mechatos Ubi Efer Para, which sounds like that he's being Mekadosh her with Mechatos or Efer Para when they haven't been mixed together yet. There's Mechatos separate and Efer Para separately. And at this point, therefore, it's not roy to be metame a tommy mess, to be metare a tommy mess. And in such a case, you cannot say that he's taking schar for the maisa mitzvah, because it's not possible at this point to do the maisa mitzvah. It must be that he's taking schar and he's waiving his rights to schar in lieu of kiddushin for the tircha of bringing the afer and filling up the water. Uktani asim, but if you're careful about reading the Mishnah in Bechoros, there in the case of Anotel Schar, it says lahazos ulekadesh. It doesn't say mechatos and afer parts, two separate entities that haven't been mixed. And therefore there's a tircha for this and a tircha for that, the tircha for mechatos to bring it from far, sometimes from far away, or Efer Para, there's a certain amount of effort that it takes to put the Efer in the Mayim. But rather here in Bechoros, or shall we say there in Bechoros, it's Lahazos Ulekadesh, as I state in the Mishnah, which means that he's taking Schar for the Maisa Mitzvah itself of Hazor or for Kiddush. Ishmami, no, we see that that's an excellent understanding of the two Mishnayis, and there's no contradiction between the two. Hadron Alefa Ha'ish Mekadish, and now we're ready to start the third Perek of Kiddushin in Yitz Hashem.